Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. It's a beautiful morning, you know. In God's name, everything is lovely. You know, and our title for today is Dreams. And, you know, you already know what I'm going to say. You know, I like to keep it truthful. Before I do talk, you know, about the title Dreams, you know, I want to go ahead and do a prayer. And, you know, because, you know, you always got to do a prayer before you do anything else. And just by talking, you got to let the Lord use you. All right, Lord, thank you for everything you've done for us, Lord Father. Thank you for giving us strength. Forgive us of our sins, for we're not good. But, Lord Father, you are a God of love, and you always going to forgive us no matter what. Lord Father, we repent of our sins and cover us in your blood, Lord Jesus, so we can look forward to the future and not the past. Keep us strong. Give us strength. Give me strength to know what to say before I say it, Lord Father, and use me. Lord Father, I thank you for everything. I thank you for this life that you gave us. Lord Jesus, keep us strong. Keep me strong. Keep my listeners strong that's listening to the word right now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I praise in your blood. Amen. Well, you know, dreams, basically, it's not just about only dreams. You know, you live in your life, you know, and you're just going according to your dreams and your career and fulfilling what you are destined to do. But I'm talking about dreams the Lord revealed to you in the last days. Dreams and signs in your dreams the Lord revealed to you. I'm talking about to everybody. Some people think certain dreams is just nothing. They don't really mean nothing. But think again, certain dreams you have, those dreams sometimes actually happens and you just don't notice it. You have to pay attention because dreams are important. Lord, the Lord gave us a gift of dreams. The Lord gave me a gift of dreams. Not just dreams to fulfill, but dreams of tomorrow, dreams of today. The Lord just revealing to us because he loves us. He don't want us to be clueless about anything in life. So we won't be in despair and we won't be too stressed. So basically, he just gives us that gift. Not just to use it, but to let other people know. You know what I mean? And dreams is something that's just really big. Some people just don't really understand it. It's not really for you to understand, but it's for you to pray and ask the Lord, Lord, please explain to me what this dream is. Reveal to me what these dreams is. You know? And usually dreams do come true. Dreams is actually something that's revealing about your life and your future before it happens. Also, dreams is something that you're going for. You could actually prophesy your future. We do have gifts like that. Not everybody has it, but you could actually ask the Lord, please, Lord, give me this gift, this great gift of dream, so I could understand, so I could, you know, just give me revelation, Lord Father. And once you ask the Lord, the Holy Spirit, and you pray, he'll give you that gift. You have to earn that gift. But usually in the last days, because it did say in the last days, young men and old men will have dreams of dreams. You know? I hope I'm not confusing anybody, but, you know, there's two types of dreams. One is just the one you having dreams about the last days or what's about to happen tomorrow or today, whatever, and dreams that you're fulfilling. And I'm talking about your career, your life, having kids, and just living your destiny to help other people. Well, I have an audio with TD Jakes. It's called Dreams. I'm going to let him take part of it. Let me go ahead and play Mary Mary, and then I'm going to go ahead and play TD Jakes' Dreams.
Straight to the word, and you know, just straight, right, flat foot to the word of God. Not to minimize our need for worship or praise, or our responsibility, or our joy to do worship and praise, but you just can't predict which way the Holy Spirit's going to move. And you want to be flexible enough that any way God moves, you're ready to receive what He has. Amen. Again, we're going to be in Exodus chapter number 14, verse 10 through 16, and then in Romans chapter number 3. Verse 1 through 4. Amen. If it goes like it did in 8 o'clock service, I won't get finished. And if I don't get finished, you just have to come back. Amen. So we can finish this word. Exodus chapter 14, verse number 10 through 16. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
If you're still looking for it, say, wait a minute. Exodus chapter 14, verse 10 through 16. I'm going to ask you to read in concert from the Word of God. I may drop out, but you continue. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel. You say amen. There are many things that I want to pull out of the text, but there are several things that are very, very important for you to understand. Moses is in the process of leading the children of Israel out of Egypt into the promised land, and in the process they are approaching the Red Sea. Obviously they've gotten into trouble trying to do the will of God. Moses is on assignment. He had the dream. He had the vision of liberating the people. How many of you know that when you're trying to help people, sometimes they fight you? Yeah, they give you a hard time. And even though you're trying to do a good thing, they give you a lot of trouble. And they said, because there were no graves in Egypt, in verse 11, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, leave us in our slavery, leave us where we came from, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you. That's shouting stuff right there. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shut your mouth. That's basically what it means. It says, the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace, or shut your mouth. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they may go forward. The interesting thing that I want you to pull out of that, and I may get to dig into it a little deeper in the days to come if I don't get finished, is that Moses has a dream, and even the people who are going to be blessed by his dream do not support the dream that he has. They really don't support it. They don't believe in it, because often in between you and your dream is trouble. And people are with you until trouble comes. But when trouble comes, people have a tendency of complaining and separating, dividing from you, because your dream will get you in trouble. And the reason you have about 50% of the congregation saying amen and 50% looking, is about 50% of people live without a dream. They just get up out of bed in the morning, they go to sleep in the evening, they basically don't have a dream. But if you ever have a dream, you have to understand in between you and your dream, there's going to be trouble, there's going to be controversy, there's going to be conflict. But how many of you made up your mind you're going to keep going? I'm going to give you something that's going to help you keep going today. I'm going to give you something that helps you keep going. I mean, when the heat is turned up and all hell is breaking loose and the enemy is coming in like a flood and Satan is saying, why don't you give up on your dream? It's costing too much and it's too complicated. People don't understand you and they don't like you anyway. The Lord sent me here to give you a word that's going to help you to maintain your momentum up under the stress of life. Are you with me? Turn quickly to Romans before I start preaching, before I get to this. Romans chapter 3, verse 1, I got out the car this morning to preach. I got up out the bed to preach. I put on my clothes to preach. I started to drive my car into the pulpit because I came here to deliver a word from you. I ain't going nowhere till I tell you what the Lord told me. Do you hear me? Hallelujah, I feel that. Go to the book of Romans, chapter 3, verse 1 through 4. Glory to God. Look at your neighbor and say, something's going to happen in here this morning. Romans chapter 3, verse 1 through 4, let's read. What advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Must every way? Chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Amen. I'm going to read that for you again, because sometimes when you read, you're not listening or can't think. And I want you to have an opportunity to savor these words, because these words are critical to what we're going to talk about today. What advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. As it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. Notice what it says. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? Lord, I hope you come to have church this morning. Look at your neighbor. I'm going to have you say this three times, and after that, you don't have to speak to him no more. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you don't have to believe in my dream. Now, I'm going to have you say it again. Say, neighbor.
Neighbor.
Hey, neighbor.
Neighbor.
You don't have to believe
in my dream.
Now, this time, the third time, the only person I want to say it are the dreamers. All of you people who don't have a dream, you don't have to say anything. But to all of you that have a dream that's bigger than you, to all of you that are believing God for something that seems impossible, crazy, or insane, to all of you who have a dream and it looks like the people don't want to get with the program, I want you to say it. Say, hey, neighbor, you don't have to believe in my dream. Now, Lord God, I thank you for the privilege of bringing us to the house of the Lord, that we might have the opportunity to declare forcefully and articulately the oracles of God. Bind every demonic influence that would hinder the word from prevailing in this house. Let your authority have preeminence over everything that is said or done today. I thank you in advance for what you're about to do in the midst of your people. Hide my flesh behind the cross until no carnality would glory in thy sight. And speak out of thy divine oracles your wisdom for this house. Speak to us today. Feed us. Let this be the gas station that propels us into our destiny. I thank you in advance for what you're about to do. Have your way. I'll praise you now. You can do it later. In Jesus' name, shout amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I particularly like to hear the Apostle Paul argue a text because when he decrees a text, he has a tendency to argue the text, asking questions, rhetorical questions, and then responding to his own questions almost in a litigation method, as if he's arguing a text before a judge, bringing you to a point of reasoning, because he is extremely, extremely intelligent. particularly skillful in convincing the critics as to the authenticity of Christianity and the magnitude of their faith. And it is exemplary of his literary style to approach the text in the method that is laid before us today. For he asks the question, what advantage then have the Jew? Of what profit is there of circumcision? And then he answers his own question and says, much every way. He said all kinds of advantages. Chiefly, not because they were circumcised, not because they were cut in their flesh, but chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. He says, it is an advantage for you when you have the oracles or the word of God. He said, it is their secret weapon. It is the advantage that causes them to catapult themselves into their destiny without fear, is that they are word carriers. You must understand then, my brothers and sisters, that it means a whole lot for you to get the word of God and allow the word of God to dwell in your heart by faith. When you get God's word down in you, you need to understand that you are a covenant people carrying the oracles or the word of God down inside of you. That's an advantage. Somebody say advantage. It's very important because God is not so much interested in covenant, in making a covenant with you as much as he is in covenant with himself. He is in covenant with his own word that when God speaks something, he's going to perform it because he said it. If you receive what he spoke, then you are carrying God's promise down inside of you. The Bible literally said that God watches over his word to perform it. You must understand this because this is going to go against your religious, it's Sunday morning, let's go to church attitude. You don't go to church to pay God off like, okay, God, you gave me 6 days, I give you the Sunday afternoon, but if you hurry up before the game and I'll pay you off and endure this sermon and draw pictures and get out. No. If that's all you're doing, just exit now. Exit, oh, it's a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Any one of those 17, 18 doors, just take any one of them and go on out now because that, I don't need it, you don't need it, we don't need it, why are we doing it? The only people that we want left in here are people who are hungry to embrace the word of God. Because you understand that when you carry the word of God, that God, as the Bible said, watches over his word to perform it. He watches over his word. So if you have the oracles of God inside of you, if God's watching over his word, he's watching over you. He's watching over you to perform the word that you're carrying on the inside. That's why I'm a word carrying, spirit filled, Holy Ghost baptized, blood washed, sanctified believer. And there are some places that the enemy just cannot hold me in, not because I got willpower, but because I got word power. And even if I'm pressed all the way down to the ground, I have a habit of bouncing back up again because there's too much word in me to leave me underground. It's an advantage. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Oh, yeah. Paul says, chiefly their advantage is that they carry the word of God. And then he goes on to say, for what if some did not believe? And what he's implying here is that anytime you're carrying the word of God, there will always be those who do not believe. There's going to be a fair amount of opposition. And there are some important things that you need to understand. And it's particularly difficult to articulate in this Western culture that we live in because we celebrate and enjoy, particularly in this country, a democratic system. And democracy is predicated on a concept that embraces majorities having right. Then the more people that feel any particular way, the voice of the people should be heard. Democracy. Democracy is a wonderful form of government for this world, but it is not necessarily a biblical form of government. What God embraces in the scriptures is not a democracy, it is a theocracy. In order for a democracy to function, the majority of the people have to agree with any concept for it to be activated. And if you get that in your mind as it relates to spiritual things, you're going to limit your ability to receive what God has for you, waiting on the supporting systems of people around you to line up with your vision before you move into the next realm. When in reality, God is operating up under a theocracy and not a democracy, and you're waiting on the democratic system to kick in where everybody agrees with what God told you, and God doesn't need anybody to agree with what he told you in order for his word to come to pass. In fact, God has a tendency to use the few to do more things than he does the multitude. He generally takes a remnant. He generally doesn't take thousands of people. He'll take 300 men who lap water like a dog. He has a way of getting the minority and doing the majority with them, because God wants you to know that his strength is made perfect in weakness, so that when you get whatever it is that God promised you, you won't waste time praising people for lining up with the vision. You will know that if it had not been for the Lord that was on your side, you would have been swallowed up. In fact, you must understand that you are a foreigner here, that you're a stranger in this world, that you're actually citizens of another country, and in that country being the New Jerusalem, that which comes down from above, in that country there is a theocracy in progress and not a democracy. So when God gets ready to bless you, God doesn't meet with anybody. He doesn't talk to anybody. He doesn't need a census report. He doesn't need a poll. He doesn't need everybody to come in alignment. He doesn't need to convince, persuade, coerce or manipulate the people around you to understand what he told you. He doesn't even need you to understand what he told you. When God gets ready to do something, he does it because he's God, and besides him there is no other. I'm getting ready to liberate some people in here today. I hope you can handle it. You're getting ready to go to the next level in your life because you're going to understand some things that everybody doesn't have to agree with what God spoke in your life for it to come to pass. All you need to do is know that God has spoken it in order for it to happen. Look at your name and say, you don't have to believe in my dream. Yeah, you know, it's nice if you do. I'm not saying it's not nice. It's wonderful when people see your dream and they understand your vision and they're ready to flow. That's a nice thing, but it is not a necessity. And where God is getting ready to take you, many people are not going to understand it. And if you don't develop some sense of autonomy whereby you're not tied to the umbilical cord of public opinion, you'll never be able to do what God called you to do. You have to have a sense of divine independence, and that is to say, as long as God told me, that's all I need to know to do what he called me. I want to start a riot, and I'm not sure you can handle a riot, but when you start walking around saying, let God be true and every man a liar, you get a riotous, radical kind of faith whereby you start doing things that people don't even understand till later. If you don't get this word in you, you'll never do great things and you'll never do exploits. I've had the privilege and opportunity to have been around a lot of great people and a lot of influential people. Nobody achieves greatness because everybody agreed with them. I'm going to say that again. Nobody achieves greatness because everybody agreed with them. In fact, if you're a person that needs everybody to agree with you for you to do something, you will always be limited. Most of the people that we call great today, we didn't call them great until after they died. So if you're waiting on people to line up with your vision, you may die waiting. Look at your neighbor and say, I don't have time to wait. You don't have to believe in my dream. I'm running out of time. I don't have time for you to figure out who I really am, what I really meant, understand my true heart, understand what God told me to do, take into account how I was raised, where I came from, and what I've been through. By the time you get through adding all of that, I'll be an old man and be dead. I got to go ahead and work the works of him that sent me while it's day, for when night cometh. I may raise some eyebrows, but I want to tell you something. Men like Dr. Martin Luther King were not particularly well thought of in their lifetime. Some of you are too young to remember, and some of you are misinformed, but I want you to understand that Dr. King, who's on every boulevard in every major city, there is a Martin Luther King Boulevard, a Martin Luther King Center, a Martin Luther King this, a Martin Luther King that, a Martin Luther King statue. It wasn't like that when he was living. I'm going to say it again. It was not like that when he was living. The government didn't embrace him. The FBI didn't like him. And even the black preachers didn't all endorse him. He was controversial. They thought he was a wild man. They thought he lost his mind. And by the time they understood what he came to do, he was dead. So for those of you that are waiting on understanding before you start your mission. You can die waiting on a support system to embrace what, oh God, you don't hear what I'm saying? And what if princess die? Let's change countries. What if princess die? Everybody talking about how wonderful she is. Her name is almost sacred now. All people are doing all kinds of wonderful articles about her missions and her giving and her care for people. But the reality was, in her lifetime, they hated her. They ostracized her. They exploited her. They exposed her. She got killed trying to run from the very reporters that end up writing wonderful things about her. But after you die, everybody's lighting candles. They're putting up memorials. They got walls of flowers around you because people love dead heroes because they are not intimidated by you after you die. But when you really have a dream, oh, I'm getting ready to rub you in some tough places. Can you handle this? When you really have a dream, you have to run the risk of being controversial, being criticized, and not having the support you need because God wants to do something wonderful in your life, and they will define it after you're dead, but you got to do it while you're living. Look at somebody and say, I don't have time to wait. You don't have to believe in my dream. You don't have to understand, so what if some don't believe? Does that make the word of God of no effect? Does that mean God's not going to bless me because you don't agree? Does that mean that God's not going to use me because you don't understand? God forbid. I got something to tell you today. Are there any dreamers in the house? Oh, I came to talk to some dreamers today. Give me a little bit more power. I come to talk to some dreamers today. I came to talk to some people who are pregnant with purpose. I came to talk to some people who are on the verge of doing something wonderful in their lives. There are three things I want to give you. These things are very, very important. But as you begin to understand these things, I think they're going to be critical to your development. Nobody does anything great for God until you get to the point that you understand and begin to embrace these things. Are you a dreamer? I say, are you a dreamer? I say, are you a dreamer? It's very, very important that you understand the things that I'm sharing with you today. I feel like I'm a man on a mission. I feel like God sent me to you for a reason. I am pregnant to deliver this word. Every time I get this word out, I feel a little bit better. Somebody needs this word. Somebody's life is going to be changed today. Somebody's on the verge of going to another level. You've been held up and held back and hindered by people who didn't understand where you were coming from because they didn't see it and they didn't perceive it and they didn't understand it. But God is getting ready to do something new and something fresh and something significant in your life. Oh, do you hear what I'm saying? If you're going to be effective, number one, you must identify the source of your dream. You must identify the source of your dream. Where did your dream come from? This is very important that you understand it, because some of us have inherited dreams from parents and mentors and people who wanted to influence us and people who wanted to live vicariously through you. So they start pointing you toward what they think you ought to do. And if your dream is born through somebody else's desire, you could be destroyed trying to fulfill it. People always wanted a doctor in their family, and they always wanted a dentist in their family, and they always wanted a lawyer in their family. And so they decide they're going to steer you in that direction, and you're miserable trying to be something for which God didn't really call you to do, and you weren't created to do it, and you're frustrated trying to do something that's really not you. Somebody who wants grandkids before they die. And so you go out and marry somebody and get pregnant so mama can see her grandkids, and you end up miserable for 30 years to fulfill somebody else's dream of it. Oh, grandma says you got a preacher's head, and everybody starts sending you to Bible college, and you end up preaching for 20 years, but you're miserable and out of place because you really haven't fulfilled your dream. You've received the dream from other people. domineering, overbearing, manipulative people who speak into your life and control you. Domineering husbands, domineering wives, manipulative people who try to make you be happy to be something that they want you to be, and you're living out somebody else's dream. And as long as you're living out somebody else's dream, you are a prisoner, a slave to their imagination, locked up to the prison of their idea, chained to their opinion, and you'll never be free. You might be rich, you might be famous, you might get the house on the hill, but you'll always be miserable until you find out, God, why am I here? What did you create me to do? What? Oh. You must identify the source of your dream. When you're identifying the source of your dream, you got to rule out dreams that are born out of brokenness. Dreams that are born out of bad beginnings. You're trying to prove something to your first husband. You're trying to show your first boyfriend that you can live without him. You're trying to show your sister that you made it without her support. You're trying to prove something to the neighbors across the street. You've been through abuse and you're trying to get even with life for something that it took you through. All these things are dreams that are not good dreams. They're nightmares. They end in agony and despair because they were not born correctly. These dreams are born out of the flesh. They're born out of fleshly issues and problems that take hold in your life. And they're born because you're trying to prove something to somebody who may not ever change their mind in the first place. You cannot allow somebody's opinion to become your idol. Can you handle this? You got to rule out dreams that are born out of your own fleshly desire to be seen, to be heard, to be recognized, to be different, to be impressive, to be accepted. Oh, it's getting tight now. This requires deep honesty. I mean, you might spend a year or two just going through this first point, because it really takes some nerve to look yourself in the face and say, why am I doing this? And I mean, really be honest. Strip off all them little scriptures you wrapped around what you wanted to do and take a good naked look at why are you really doing this. If you don't get the nerve to ask yourself the tough questions about where your dream came from, you're going to end up in a nightmare. Like Sarah, who ends up with an Ishmael by a woman that she later has to put out of her house because the whole thing was born out of the flesh. And God told Abraham, he said, I'm going to bless you, but I'm not going to bless you through anything that was born out of your flesh, born out of your pride, born out of your strife, born out of your need to be recognized. And some people need to understand that your life has been put on hold for years. The enemy couldn't stop you from going forward, but he let you have an Ishmael because he comes for three things. He comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. And if he can't destroy you, he'll try to steal your life away from you, getting you to spend your life trying to do something that is not going to be profitable. And the worst kind of servant you can be in the house of God is an unprofitable servant. Profit is what you have left when the transaction is over. You got to write fast because I'm loaded today, baby. Profit is what you have left when the transaction is over. And when you start seeing years pass by and you don't have anything to profit, you've got to get the nerve to look at your dream and say, why am I doing what I'm doing? And ask yourself the tough questions so that you don't try to get the promise through an Ishmael. Look at somebody and say, God's going to change your life today. In fact, right now, I believe that God wants to liberate you from everything that's entangled you from finding the purpose of God in your life and living out that purpose and living out that dream with a sense of fulfillment. Some of you are literally going to feel handcuffs fall off of you, chains fall off of you. You're going to be liberated in places you've never been liberated before, free to express yourself, free to discover yourself, free to move into avenues that were controversial, because God did not call you to repeat somebody else's success. God wants to take you where no man has ever gone before, to do things that no woman has ever done. Oh, God. What do you think he meant when he said, I will do a new thing in you? God wants to do something fresh in you. In order to do that, you have to go to God and say, Lord, give me my dream. Give me the dream that you have for me. This comes from communing with God. Give me the dream that you have. And God is so specific. If you will get in His face and wait and stop running off with half the information, God will give you a complete picture of what He's going to do in your life. It will include who you need to be around, how you need to dress, where you need to go, how you need to conduct yourself. What do you think of me when it says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord? God is going to give you details, specifics. He has a dream for your life, but you have to seek Him. And in order to seek Him, you have to shut up your ears against what everybody's saying and hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying down inside of you so you can find out what God has for you. The Bible says, deep calleth unto deep. Deep calleth unto deep. Deep calleth unto deep. The deep, the depth of God, calling out to the depth in your human spirit. God begins to communicate with you and gives you a vision, a dream of what He's going to do with you in your lifetime. Whether you know it or not, you are spending your life right now. More important than your money, more important than your gas, more important than your clothes or anything else you possess, you are spending your life. Don't spend your life on something God didn't tell you to do. You need to rush into the face of God and say, Lord, show me myself. Show me what you have for me. Show me what your purpose is for my life. Help me to line myself up with your predestined, predetermined purpose so that I can move into the center of your will for my life, and nudge me when I get there so that the enemy doesn't trick me out of my place once I finally start. See, it's all right to talk to God like you're stupid. The Lord, I don't know. And when I know, you got to nudge me. And when I'm there, don't let me mess it up. And when I finally get it together, don't let me blow it. And don't let me go too far. And don't let me be too slow. And hold my hand and guide me and give me a signal till I finally. Oh, I feel glory about to hit this house. I feel the anointing of God. There's a reason you got out of bed this morning. The Lord wanted you to be here today. You have got to hear this message. When the Bible says things like the entrance of thy word giveth light, that's why the word of God is important. Because when the word of God hits your spirit, it illuminates your spirit. It shines lights for you to know who you are, whose you are, what you are, where you are, why you are, and how you are. All of that comes through the light of God's word. Not through schmoozing with other people. Not through dropping business cards. Not through trying to manipulate people. Not through trying to be seen or heard. You don't have to do none of that. What God has for you is... I'm going to borrow this from Duncan Williams. Holler, I hear you.